Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you whenever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a really long walk, but a pretty short flight on the Star Trek Enterprise going at maximum warp up to Charleston, South Carolina, the holy city, where he is the toughest, talkinest, Chief Operating Officer in South Carolina Federal Credit Union history. You know him as Tough Talking Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Well, I want to let you know that I am completely out of darkness and was so in love with that Star Trek movie, how J.J. Abrams has reinvented the brand. Oh, my gosh, that's another whole radio show we could do.
We actually could. And heads up to those of you that made what I – there's the trilogy in Star Wars, the original one, and then there's the tragedy, the three that they made afterwards. Note to people who made the Star Wars prequels, go ask J.J. Abrams how you do a prequel the right way, because I loved the first Star Trek with Chris Pine as Captain Kirk. And, of course, I loved the one. I saw it on Friday. Absolutely, absolutely great. So what's going on? We are talking – the class of 2013. Do you remember where you were when you were counting down single digits to high school graduation back when you and Moses were thinking about graduation? Do you remember what you were going through?
Yeah, I was thinking of how I might spend some time with a boring radio host so that I could not have to play games, you know, with my Atari.
Exactly. My graduating year was 1985. Now, I would not have been at school on a Wednesday. After spring break, I can tell you, God is my witness, I never went to school on a Wednesday my senior year, my senior spring. And I'm not advocating that for a young Miriam who's going to join us here in just a minute. But we are talking the class of 2013. We've been saying it for a couple of weeks. Here comes Generation Z. And, Troy, I hope everybody's ready for them because I know they're ready for the world.
Absolutely. And one of the important things for us in the business industry is to be paying attention to the cues that we're going to be getting. And I think Miriam's going to give us some insight to that.
Well, speaking of high school graduations, I had the privilege and honor of going to the graduating ceremonies this past Saturday at Tree of Life Church for the New Braunfels Christian Academy, and El Presidente Emma Douglas delivered an absolutely beautiful, well-crafted salutatorian address. Troy, it would have made you very, very proud.
Oh, excellent. Did she mention Eloquent Online by any chance?
She did not. She did not. That was not in her contract. But I think she probably had other things on her mind. And like I said to y'all last week, I probably speak to Emma once a month, once every other. She's really here to make decisions, not to carry on a conversation with me on a daily basis. But I was really proud. She's just a very, very thoughtful, intelligent, very demure young lady. But when she gets up on stage and starts talking, she can really get people's attention and hold it. But a great, great afternoon at the New Braunfels Christian Academy. They were graduating their kids, class of 2013, and I love the class of 2013. It's sort of the class that wasn't supposed to be. If you were a knucklehead enough to believe the Mayan calendar, which I wasn't, by the way, although I did make my mortgage payment very late in December, just in case. But we're going to talk to Miriam. When I get back from the break, I'll have the first question from Miriam MacArthur. She is the 2013 graduating class of New Braunfels High School, right here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and we're going to talk to her right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
Hit it. That's right, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
are hotter.
So, so much hotter. Hey, Miriam, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
It's great to have you on the show. All right, Miriam, your mom is one of the nicest, sweetest people I've ever known. I'm a huge fan of your family. Talk to us about you and your family here in New Braunfels, Texas.
Well, as you know, I have three brothers, so it tends to be kind of chaotic around our house, but I love it, and I love having brothers, and they taught me to be messy and to enjoy sport and to play outside all the time. And it's given me a really good relationship with my mom because we kind of have to stick together for the female force around the house.
Sure.
Yeah, that can be an important thing. So, you know, in a little bit that we chatted a little bit offline, we talked about the social aspect of things. And so I'm going to jump right into some things that I think are kind of interesting because I want to gain your perspective. And so I'd like you to speak to us in a couple of ways. One, talk about how it works for you, but also talk about how it works for your friends when it comes to interacting, you know, on electronic or technology. So because what I'm going to key up for the audience here is this. We know from the research from the millennial generation, and we're still gathering data on folks like yourself or the Gen Z, there are four primary characteristics that emerge from that group. That is this, that they have an entrepreneurial spirit, that they have this need for hyperconnectivity to stay always connected, to be collaborative in the way that they will approach decision-making, and then to also be engaged in either purposeful activity from a social perspective or that their work is meaningful, that there's value to it. So taking the one characteristic, which is hyperconnectivity, how is it you connect to others, whether you use technology or not, to do that?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely a texter. You know, I admit to that. But I like talking on the phone, and I like face-to-face interaction. So, I mean, I call my mom after school most days, and, you know, we check with each other about what's going on. But for the most part, all my talking is done at home once she gets home. I talk to my brothers when we're at home. But family's a little different. I think family relies more on calling and face-to-face interaction, whereas my friends, I would prefer to just send them a text, see what they're doing. It's not really a priority for me to know what they're doing all the time, but it's nice. It's kind of like a I'm thinking of you, so I'm going to send you a text.
Yeah.
You know.
So now, like, in the conversation though of like when you talk to your mom, you talk to her like a lot, I assume, because we're still being in high school. But I mean, would you say that she's one of the first people that you connect with?
Absolutely. I mean, my mom is by far my best friend, and she's not very forceful about a mother-daughter relationship, and I think that's what's been the biggest thing that's helped us get closer. You know, she's just so wonderful. I love being with her. And so, I mean, I want to tell her about my day at school, and I know that she'll give me an honest opinion. And she's going to actually listen to what I'm saying. So she's definitely the first person that I connect with.
How often do you text? I'm sorry, Jason. I just want to follow up a little bit on this.
Go ahead.
How often do you text?
I don't know a number. I probably text at least three people every night for just kind of sporadically over, I'd say, like 8 hours.
Wow.
And do you ever have a time where you actually are completely alone, where you just say, I've got to have downtime, don't bother me, I am not going to pick up the phone, I'm not going to talk to anybody, I need to be left alone? Do you find yourself having those types of experiences?
Yeah, I think sometimes I like afternoon naps, or sometimes I like to just go lay in a hammock and, you know, just kind of let the day rinse off me and relax. And so at those times, I'll either just leave my phone in another room, or I'll maybe put it on silent, or I'll just kind of ignore the little whistling that my phone does whenever somebody's trying to get a hold of me.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Well,
good.
I know right away that when we first started communicating about being on the show, it was obvious. I would send you a text, and I would get an answer back pretty quickly when you didn't lose your phone. And so I probably sent you more texts last week than I've sent anybody in a long, long time. I would say my primary form of communication continues to be phone and email. But now that you talked about it, what is a typical day like for you here in the final waning days of high school? Take us through a typical day for Miriam in New Braunfels, Texas.
Oh, man. Well, I have that battle with my alarm clock every morning. It keeps yelling at me to get up, and I have to finally listen and get up. But after that, I get a gigantic cup of coffee. Mm. And I know that's terrible, but I'm already addicted. And then I usually have to wake up whichever brother I'm in high school with. This year it's James. And make sure he gets out of bed so he can get to school on time. We actually drive separately to school.
Oh.
And then I go to school, and a lot of times in the morning, if I get there a little early, I hang out in the parking lot. Which sounds strange, but most of my friends, we all park in the same area, and so we just kind of wait for each other and visit in the mornings about, I don't know, anything under the moon. And then I go to first period, which is English, which has become a sort of a hangout period where I get anything else I need done. Second period, I have Photoshop, which is just an elective for me, so that's just all fun. Third period, I have economics, I have to admit, is not my passion, and I tend to play Candy Crush during that period, so I'm very sorry to my teacher. And then fourth period, I have calculus, which I love math, so I have fun in there. And after the AP exam, we pretty much have downtime, and we just watch, I don't know if you've ever heard of TED Talks, but we watch TED Talks online.
Yeah.
And then I have lunch, which is my favorite time of the day. I like to go outside, or I go in the library and eat lunch with my friends, just somewhere where we can kind of get out of the actual school building.
And the TED Talk, is that technology, education, and design or something like that? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a whole mirage of things, but for the most part, it's all about – it's an educational program. That's why we're allowed to watch it during class.
Yeah.
My calculus class is actually extremely – it's all based on technology. All of our worksheets and everything, he has his own website. Everything is online. Post it, and we do it, and in class, he has a smart board that he's had for 3 years that he uses to teach us everything. Everybody now brings their iPads from home to class, and they take notes on their iPads. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of technology going on in our school, and I know they just replaced all of our PCs and everything with Macs.
Hmm.
So next year, we're going to be an advocate for Apple.
Wow.
And then, my fifth period class is environmental science. So after that period, I get to go home.
Nice.
And do homework if I have any.
So, and Miriam, in your day, when you, because I know Jason mentioned before about losing your phone, did you feel completely lost without the phone?
You know, I was at work, so I think if I was at home without my phone, I wouldn't have minded it so much. But because I was at work, I was paranoid about what time was it. I always check my phone for the time. I don't have a watch. So I'm always looking to check my phone for time. And then, oh, I wonder, what if somebody needs to get a hold of me? Or, you know, how am I going to get my phone when I do finally leave here? Because I had left it at a friend's house. So I had no way of communicating to them that I had left my phone at their house. So I'd be coming by after work. So it was stressful for me. Just to have to get it back in time for school the next day, because it's actually my alarm clock.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If I didn't have my phone, I don't think I'd get up in the morning.
Okay, so with all the technologies and discussions you talked about there, and you said you love math and so forth, So tell me about some of your experiences maybe with financial literacy and your ability to understand what happens in, you know, the financial world or what happens with your own personal budgeting or writing checks or debit cards or whatever it is that says to you financial literacy. Tell me a little bit about that. How is that working for you?
Well, I took a Dave Ramsey financial management class in, I think it was 7th or 8th grade, and these are really the only things that I took from it. It was that you need to plan ahead, you need to start saving early on, and you need to make a budget and stick to your budget. So through that, I've only recently had a job that's been steady, and over the past 2 years, I will admit, I've been terrible about planning ahead and saving. And now that it's time for college, and I actually really need to plan ahead and make some money so that I can pay for college, I've started to think about it a lot more. And I know it's really important to have a budget, so that's really where I'm starting, just making a budget, putting aside a little every month so it can go into my savings now. I do not have a credit card, and I know that's something that I'm going to get bombarded with in college. That's what I've been told. So
yeah.
I think I'll deal with the credit card maybe toward the end of college or after college once I have a little more financial stability with a job and with everything like that so that I can
right.
actually, you know, go to my bank account with some reliability instead of just hoping that my parents put enough money in my account for me to get gas.
So while you were in high school, though, you never had any kind of course on financial literacy. Nobody ever came out to the high school and said, hey, you know, you guys are a couple years away from some pretty big life decisions when it comes to college or the military or vocational school or work. No one ever came out to the school and did anything like that for y'all?
No, not specifically. At least not specifically about our finances now.
Right.
We've had Army recruiters and Navy recruiters come into class, and they'll tell us about, you know, hey, come to the Naval Academy, it's free,
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
But it's nothing, you know, about us personally planning ahead with our money to pay for college.
Well, hey, listen, folks, we're visiting with Miriam MacArthur from the class of 2013 at New Braunfels High School. And when we get back from the break, Troy's going to have the next question for us, and we'll do it all. Right after this. Right after that. That is right. You are back on the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? You can't leave the audience wanting more unless you understand the audience. And today we're talking about that Gen Z, that youth marketplace, class of 2013. Here they come, folks. Are you ready for them? They're ready for the world. And, of course, Troy's got our next question for Miriam.
Miriam, I know that you probably have some definite plans for graduation. For after graduation, and I wanted to speak to you specifically about what you think career or work-wise, but not so much like tell me, oh, I think I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever. Tell me how you'll go through the process of selecting what you're going to want to do. What is it that appeals to you? What is it that would call to you that you would then start to say, well, that's kind of interesting. I think I might like that.
Well, I have to say that my decision-making right now has been based mostly on future job stability. And I want to go into a field where I'll be assured that I'll have a job when I graduate from college. I've been hearing all about how everybody's having to move back home and there's not enough jobs and, you know, people are losing their jobs. So I have thought a lot about the health field, and I know that there's always jobs in the health field. So I'm planning on either going into nursing and becoming a registered nurse or going my 4 years in college, getting a degree, and then applying for occupational therapy school and becoming an occupational therapist. So
So do you find that that your decision is more about stability, or is it also about how you feel when you do the work?
It's a lot about how I feel. I like doing service jobs, and I know that personally I've always wanted to be in a field where I can help others. So in both nursing and occupational therapy, I can help out others. And I've always wanted to work with children since way back, and I've worked at vacation Bible schools over summers, and I've been a nanny before. So I know that children are in my future, and I feel like through nursing or occupational therapy, I can really embrace all the things that I love, you know, with interacting with people and socially, but I can also have the job stability of a future
Of the healthcare field, yep.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Miriam, in the shadow of New Braunfels High School sits the scooter store. It was the largest employer here in New Braunfels, and you would think in a world with 80 million baby boomers, any company that made scooters would be in business for a long, long time. And, of course, during your senior year, the scooter store basically went out of business. Did that have any impact on your plans for the future? Did that make you even more focused on what you just talked about, the job stability in a career field where you could have that kind of stability?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had a lot of friends whose their parents have lost their jobs through the scooter store. So, you know, I see it in families around me, but specifically my own father lost his job that he worked at for 25 years. It was our family's main income. He lost it last April. So I've personally been seeing how, you know, job loss can really affect a family. And I know that a lot of it has to do with my father. He never graduated from college. He got really close, but he just never followed through. So I'm seeing now things that are really important in the job market, and especially now that I've seen my father apply for numerous jobs, you know, what matters to employers.
Well, Miriam, I think that what you offered folks who were listening was probably a quintessential piece of information, in that you are willing to watch others and you're willing to learn from others. And that is a process called social intelligence. And believe it or not, I'll just go back in history to Abraham Lincoln. He had a very strong ability to be able to look at others' mistakes and not make the same ones that someone else has made. And I kind of chose him from a historical figure. He's not too close to where people would be too politically minded. So, but just use him as a particular example. So I think it's really great that listening to you as a graduating senior, that one of the things that you have done is you have allowed yourselves to be present to the environment, and you've allowed yourself to take on those characteristics, or to understand what's happening in the environment, and to say, you know, I can learn from that. I think too many times individuals, I'm kind of generalizing the population here a little bit, but they kind of are like, they feel indestructible. They feel kind of like, hey, I'm young, I can do whatever I want, blah, blah, blah. But I think that you have approached it with a certain amount of maturity, which gives me a great comfort in, you know, in humankind. So thank you. Thanks for being on the show. And Jason, if you have some follow-up or anything you want to
say
to Miriam.
Well, Miriam, I'll tell you, and again, this advice is costing you, it's worth exactly what it's costing you to hear. I will tell you, if you're interested in nursing, I think you'll find there's a lot of nursing programs out there that will give you an RN position that don't always require a four-year college degree. I think Baptist might have a 1 or 2 year program. There's lots and lots of, but again, if you're looking for that well-rounded 4 year liberal arts education, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just saying there are lots and lots of options, and you're absolutely spot on to be looking at that healthcare career field. Speaking of working with kids, I forgot to mention this, but you were also one of the assistant coaches for the Cross Lutheran Girls Blue Volleyball team, so we know you like to work with the young people. That's why I call you Coach Miriam when I see you. What was it like working with those little young people?
Well, it's so much fun, and there's such a good group of Christian girls. And I mean, I went through the cross program, and I played volleyball in that same gym, and I learned everything that they're learning in that same, you know, that same gym and that same location. So it's really, I mean, it's really special to me to be able to go back to the school that taught me all the moral foundation that I have and gave me the faith foundation that I have, that I can go back and, you know, give back to them and hopefully inspire some girls to stick to their morals and, you know, give them a role model that they can look up to and grow.
Well, I remember when Faith Kruger came back her senior year and was a coach for the, I think, the Gold Girls volleyball team. I thought that was such an exceptional thing to do, and I love that you kept that tradition going this year. On behalf of myself and Troy and the entire audience, I think we are all very, very enthusiastic about your future. You clearly have a very pragmatic approach to how you want to do things. You just mentioned the one thing that I think is going to see you through any problems or obstacles that you might find along the way, and that is that you are rooted in your faith and in your family. Those things never, ever go out of style. During the recession, I had lots of concerns about money and stuff like that, be it when business was slowing down. And I found out right away that the things that you can count on are those people you see every day, the people in your family, the people at your church, the people in your community, and the locality that you live in is so very, very important to you. I know Troy wishes you the absolute best. I just want to ask you just a couple quick bullet point questions. What kind of phone do you use?
I have an iPhone 4S.
Oh, nice, nice. Do you have a favorite music group or a group that you just recently saw in concert?
You know, I've never been to an official concert. I've been to some Christian ones on, like, mission trips, but I've never been
to
a band that I really wanted to see, and I really do want to go to a concert. But I think if I chose right now, I'd probably pick maybe, like, Darius Rucker or Josh Abbott. I'm a big country girl.
Well, there we go. Two bands I've never heard of. Troy, do you have any bullet point questions for Miriam?
No, I'm just blown away. Miriam, I mean, just
tell.
Really
lots
of really, really great information that you've provided us that you don't even realize. And lots of luck to you in your career helping others. As part of, for me, I work at a credit union, so our philosophical viewpoint was built from the mantra of people helping people. I myself understand family, having run at one time 4 generations living out of the same household, and I am a man of faith who married his high school sweetheart in 1977 and celebrated his 36th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Hey,
that's incredible.
A nicer guy you will never meet. Miriam, I just my reaction sitting here, and I can tell Troy's impressed because when you leave Troy speechless, you've really accomplished something. That takes a lot to leave Troy speechless.
I
wish
hang
I could
in for
go
next
back.
Week, Miriam. You're gonna hear a good show next week now,
I wish I could go back to high school and take the same pragmatic and thoughtful approach that you had. I didn't. I think even to this day that I've lived a regret not taking high school more seriously. So we'll let you get back to playing video games in your last few days of high school.
Thank you.
May God bless and keep you and your family now and always. Troy and I both wish you a lifetime of peace and prosperity. Miriam, you've been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank y'all so much. It was great talking to y'all.
Just
thank
wonderful.
You. Bye.
Thank you, man. And with 60 seconds left on the show, Troy, I mean,
okay, Jason, here's what we're going to do impromptu. People are going to have to stay tuned for the debriefing of this exquisite interview next week, because
next week.
There is so much information that
Absolutely.
She has provided that everybody needs to listen to that and tune in next week as we debrief from that, because we can actually draw conclusions from theoretical research that was done and match up entrepreneurial, hyper-connected, collaborative, meaningful work and social purpose with everything that she told us.
And I think the other number one thing is, again, Generation Z, for all their hyper-connectivity, for their iPhone. I'm a little jealous. Miriam has a much better phone than I do. I really need to upgrade my phone. But that
most
they're
people
still,
have better stuff
yes,
than you have.
Yes, they do indeed. But she's part of a social generation, the value that she places on her faith and her family. It just – you hear so much about the bad kids on the news. It was just a real pleasure. And I'm telling you, a nicer – person you will never meet. Miriam just hails from a wonderful family, a wonderful Christian young lady. It was an absolute joy having her on the show, a show which, by the way, has come to an end, sadly. And so, folks, if it's Wednesday, it's the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? You're going to want to hear more about Miriam's interview next week when we debrief this. Hey, Troy, you have a blessed week out there in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines.
Everybody else, we'll talk to you next week on the Power of Performance. Y'all take care. Bye now.